Let's waste no more time now. This is the Wintrust Business Lunch on WGN. Pete Zimmerman's the producer. Terry Savage on Wednesdays is here. Hi, Terry.
Hello. What an interesting day we have. Oh, is it always Wednesdays or is it just every day?
Yeah, no kidding. Well, you're on Wednesdays, but every day seems to offer its own interesting economic news.
Yes.
What's got to be in your bonnet today, Terry?
Well, I think we've talked briefly about this last week because I had just posted my column on inflation. Where is inflation? It's all around us is basically the answer. And today we had confirmation of that with news that inflation had heated up at a very rapid, more than even expected pace, a 4.2% annual rate. The most since 2008. A lot of that, yes, is in comparisons year over year. Remember last April, who could forget that? But it was still unexpected, and the stock market anticipated that yesterday. It's reacting to it today, down another, as we noted, 427. And the real question is the Fed going to ride this out, as Federal Chairman Jay Powell promised? It's transitory, fleeting, the result of adjustments in the economy as we come back from the pandemic, maybe, or is it something else? Is it that trillions of dollars they've pumped into the economy, $7 trillion over the last 2 years in new debt, newly created money, and is that taking its toll? Yes, helping people, of course, but taking its toll on the credibility of our currency, the Fed printing $120 billion every month, buying IOUs from the government, putting that money into the economy, is that leading to something more than just a transitory adjustment in the inflation figures? That's like the $28 trillion question.
Well, I guess it could be a little bit of both. If it were one more than the other, what do you think? What is going on here?
Yeah, I think inflation is always and forever a monetary phenomenon. Now, most of our listeners probably too young to remember when the inflation built up in the 70s, as the Fed in that era tried to print money both for the Great Society, for the Vietnam War, for the first half of that decade, and to take away the sting of what was then the rising oil prices, the OPEC oil embargo.
Mm-hmm.
And by 79, we had inflation off and running, and until Volcker came to quash it, we had 13% inflation. He pushed rates up to 20% prime rate just to quash it. It took longer for things to become perceived in the 70s. We're like, are we really 50 years later? And now our numbers are out there instantaneously, so we're getting a faster reaction to the fact of all this money printing.
Because it's easy to label a bunch of transitory things, the Suez Canal, the pandemic, the microchips that were lost and the production that was lost, the stimulus checks that put all of that money out there. So all of those things aren't forever. All of those things are going to be done or are already.
Nothing's forever, but the markets react in real time now.
Well, sure it does, but I mean, I wonder how long this inflationary period or how severe it's going to be, since some of the factors I just listed are going to go away, right? That's not monetary policy. Those are momentary things.
If you could answer that question that you just posed, I wonder how long or how transitory this is going to be.
That's what I'm asking.
You would not be hosting the show anymore. I would have a job because I know I can't forecast it.
Okay, well, I'll just say this. We have to pause here. We'll take a quick look at the weather and the markets and the traffic and stuff, but we'll come back with your questions. 312-981-7200. But I should tell you, Terry, the first 3 hours of my show today, I took a lot of calls from people that were just telling me that they are noticing prices going up at the store, you know, at the grocery store, at the gas pump, buying lumber, buying cars. I mean, very specific dollars and cents calculations by people. So I think that's noteworthy that people are seeing and feeling prices going up. It's 12:14 on the Wintrust Business Lunch. What do you know? All the phone lines are ringing and lots of text messages, too. For Terry Savage, visit terrysavage.com. Anything you want to say, Terry, before we go to our calls?
Yeah, it's not an illusion. This is what's really important to note, that in the 70s, it took a decade for inflationary pressures to build up. It was so subtle, people didn't know it. We have instantaneous communication today. We know that lumber is up 300% in recent months, adding like $26,000 to the price of a home. We know that used car prices are up 70% year over year. Used car prices. Now, people don't want to take the subway or whatever it is, the bus. They're buying cars. And there's a problem with new cars with the chips, so manufacturing is slowing. You know your home price is up. Look at the stock market. That's where the money went, a lot of it. And those prices are up, except for yesterday and today. So it's not your imagination that the word inflation is there. And the last person I want to be today is the Fed chairman, Jay Powell, who has said, we're going to ignore this. This is transitory. That's going to be a tough position for him to take.
If interest rates go up, then I will get a better return on my deposits at banks or on certificates of deposit, right, on CDs.
You know what? That is there are two strange things in the world. Oil futures go up, and the price at the pump goes up 2 hours later. It's not the new oil that they're bidding on. That old oil that was finally in the tanks at the gas stations is cheap oil. But the thing that goes up fastest is gasoline prices. At even a whiff of rising prices in the futures or the cash market for oil. And the thing that goes up slowest is interest rates, even though interest rates are starting to rise in the treasury bond market. The banks are very reluctant to pay you more. They know you won't move so quickly. So, yes, rates will probably go up, but not right away.
I mean, that's a great frustration. You put your money in a savings account, and it's insured for $100,000 or whatever it is. But why? I mean, it just sits there, and it gets 0.01%.
You can write to Jay Powell and say, excuse me.
I know I'm not telling you anything you don't know. Okay, let's pick up a couple of phone lines with Terry Savage. This is Bill. You're on WGN. Bill, how can we help you today?
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I have a quick question for Terry. As she said, in the early 80s, Paul Volcker solved the inflation of the 70s and 80s by raising interest rates to 13%. Indeed, I had a 13% mortgage back then. But now we have a $27 trillion federal debt. How are they going to sell it? The Federal Reserve is already buying a lot of the treasuries in the open market, and they're prohibited by law from buying them directly from the treasury. So how are they going to fund it?
No, I thought you were going somewhere else. Interest on the national debt, even at today's low rates, thank you, Jay Powell, is the third largest category in the federal budget. If rates were to go up a percent or two, and that's the third largest category behind defense and social programs and defense. But if interest rates go up, as all that money gets, all those IOUs, treasury bills, notes, and bonds that have been issued to borrow money to pay out whatever we pay out, whether it's infrastructure or $1,400 checks or whatever, but as interest rates go up and as those mature and they have to roll over and borrow again and forget the new borrowings they do, the cost of interest to the federal government will be prohibitive. It will crowd everything else out. I hope we don't get there, but we're getting close, and that's why the Fed chairman has kept interest rates low, not so much to punish savers, but to help the federal government through this process where it's added $7 trillion in 2 years to our national debt.
Interesting question. Bill, thanks for the call. I'm going to go to Jim next. You're on WGN. Jim, what can we do for you?
Hi, John and Terry. Thank you for taking my call. Terry, my question is, what's your thoughts regarding the pause on the student loans at September 30th? Do you think it will be extended? And my other question is a follow-up to an article you wrote about, instead of loan forgiveness, adjusting the interest that has been charged students and parents. Thank you for taking my call.
You betcha. You betcha.
Okay. There are a lot of what-ifs coming down the pike. What if the mortgage, the eviction ban is lifted? One of the biggest, though, is what happens if and when the end of forbearance on student loans happens. It's been a boon to those who are carrying the burden of student loan debt that they haven't had to pay the interest on the loans. And I've got a material here for a column from the American Consumer Credit Counseling Services talking about how, it'll probably be a future column, how to prepare for the end of student loan forbearance. It's going to come as a shock. And I don't know how to game the possibility of this lifting of the forbearance, but I will bet that odds on even money, that someone in the Biden administration will come up with a plan to, at the same time they tell you you have to start resuming payments, they will also come up with some kind of a plan to forgive a portion of student loans. I don't know what it'll be, but I think that's probably a tandem act that will happen sometime this summer.
Well, forbearance.
Remember last summer, John, when I was saying, surely they'll do this. I think this summer is going to be the summer of holding your breath over student loans.
Okay, but forbearance has to end. At some point, people have to start making payments again. I mean, you can anyway, but it'll be mandated. It'll be a loan. You'll have to start making payments on it. You just said a moment ago, if they end forbearance, it has to end, right? Like maybe in September.
Well, it could. Well, there's all kinds of possibilities. I mean, you think about the range of possibilities that have been suggested out loud with a straight face by some in Congress even. Let's just wipe out all student loans. You've heard that. There's a possibility that the forbearance could be extended depending on what's going on in the economy. You never could tell what, you know, Mark Twain said, no man's fortune is safe while Congress is in session. So there's all kinds of things, you know,
well, if
could come
I
out.
Let me say this. If I owed $11,000 on a student loan, if I owed $10,000 or less on a student loan and I was in forbearance, I would not be paying on that loan because I would be betting, what have I got to lose? I would wait until they decide to forgive $10,000, and then I didn't waste my money on even paying down the principal, which if I knew that
exactly.
I wasn't. But I would be paying on the principal if I could, if I knew that we weren't going to get forgiveness. But if I had to bet, I'd say they're probably capable of doing that.
Oh, there's no doubt they are. In fact, that they paved the way for it in the tax, in the CARES, in the American Recovery Act.
Yeah.
So we've discussed this before. Ordinarily, I would have said, pay down that. Right now is the perfect time. All the money goes to principal. Pay down the principal. It'll help you greatly over the long run. But you heard me say to a couple of people a couple of months ago, well, you know, I wouldn't pay on the, if you just got $10,000 or so, I wouldn't pay down the principal now because you never could tell. You're right, which is a testimonial to the American consumer. We're smart. We respond to incentives. And the incentive right now is to hold your breath and wait and see what happens.
Hey, John Williams, please ask Terry Savage, what is the best way to check my credit score for free?
Well, many banks, Discover Card, if you have one, give that to you for free. I happen to have signed up for free at Credit Karma, CreditKarma. I check my credit score regularly, typically because they say, oh, Terry, your score went up a couple of points. You've paid off your balances. Yeah, I pay off my balances all the time. But they hook me in to look, and then it's safe, it's secure. I log in, and then they quick flash an ad. I don't have a mortgage, but they say, we could save money on a mortgage, or you could. They give you lots of helpful suggestions, and that's how Credit Karma works. And that's where I would just tell you the easiest, unless it shows up, as it does in many banks, when you check in online, you can click and get your credit score.
630 said, I have a question for Terry. I had my taxes done with an accountant, and I already got my federal refund back, but it was for $1.07 more than I was told. Is this happening to other people this year?
You know what my immediate reaction is? Remember the old saying, don't look a gift horse in the mouth? I have no idea whether, I mean, first of all, count yourself lucky because 100 other people in our listening audience are saying, but wait, I filed mine and I haven't gotten my refund and I filed electronically and I even put in my direct deposit information and I haven't gotten my refund. And don't worry about it because you're not alone. If you haven't gotten your refund, if you got an extra $2, you know, just don't look that gift horse in the mouth. That's not something to stay up overnight worrying about.
Yeah, I was glad you said that just now because I was at some point going to ask you to just tell everybody who is wondering, be patient. Terry said last week, and she says pretty much every week, the IRS will get to it. Even if you are an electronic filer, even those take a while to process. And those of you that did it in February, you will get your return, correct?
Absolutely. And I got a little more color on that from the IRS when we talked last week. You know, they're diverting some for reviews of comparisons with 2019 returns that relate to stimulus eligibility, and maybe we'll wind up giving you more stimulus. It's not just a this goes in and this goes out within 13 days kind of a thing anymore. So who knows the wonders of their processes. I should have said this again. We still have people filing in the next 3 days. For goodness sakes, get up and go down to the post office and file a certified return receipt requested if you're mailing it in. Or file it electronically. You'll get a receipt.
It's good to know. Terry Savage is joining us after the news. The news is next. The number is 312-981-7200. Lots of texts. You'll get in on the phone line if you call in now. Terry Savage joins us on Wednesdays on the Wintrust Business Lunch. What about this text message, Terry? I got 8 weeks of enhanced unemployment when my dental office was shut down by the government, and they automatically took out taxes. It was under $10,000. Will they automatically refund that?
Yes, the IRS says that you don't have to do anything, that they will recognize the fact that there were taxes withheld, and they will do a separate scan through all those returns that filed unemployment taxes on unemployment benefit, either added them because they hadn't had withholdings or will get the withholdings back. Illinois says it will get around to doing that, too. Don't hold your breath, but for state taxes. But the federal government will do that automatically. You don't have to file anything.
It's good to know. And here's information for Terry, says 630. We filed my income tax return electronically on May 4th, and the refund was in the bank today. Some of you are waiting.
Oh, my God, I want to be there and give you a hug. You should go buy a lottery ticket. That's not advice I've ever given before. But take a dollar out of that refund and go buy a lottery ticket. You're hot.
Joe, you're on WGN with Terry Savage. Hi, Joe.
Hi. It's not a major question, but I'm retired, living on a fixed income, pension, and Social Security. And I sold a piece of property last year, and they told me because of that, I won't receive the stimulus check. Is that true?
Well, how much was the gain, Joe? Dollar amount?
Over $70,000.
Yeah, you probably, because that was considered additional income on your tax return, that gain on it anyway. If you had, and you had Social Security, so it's got to be a minimum of $12,000 in a pension, you probably, and if you're alone, single filing anyway, you probably put yourself above the $75,000 limit and won't get the $1,400 check. But then think about it this way. You've got some money in the bank, so all's not lost.
Thanks for the information.
I'm sorry,
Joe. Sorry to be the bearer of bad news.
Well, but $75,000 is the basement. The ceiling on that is
$80,000? Yeah, $80,000. So, Joe may have sold it for $75,000. His profit might have been... I don't know whether that was his profit, but all in, the net profit, not the sale price of that house, but the net profit on it is added to your tax return. And if it wasn't your residence, and I should have asked, was it? Didn't sound like it was his residence.
Sounded like an investment.
Then it was a capital gain and added to his pension and his Social Security, pushed him over that $75,000 or even the $80,000 outside limit.
And the tax you pay for capital gains, is that 20? What is the rate on
that? What day are you looking at?
I know.
Currently 20%.
Yeah. Here is another call from Barb. You're on WGN. Barb, how can we help you?
Well, it was interesting. Yesterday I saw this envelope, Department of Treasury, Internal Revenue. I open it up, and then it says the White House. And then I'm reading it, and it comes across. It says the American Rescue Plan, which I don't know what that is, but they're saying, I am pleased to inform you that with the American Rescue, you will have a direct deposit to $1,400. Is this a scam?
No, that's the stimulus payment. Let me ask you a question, Barb. Do you get Social Security benefits? Are you on Social Security?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They get deposited to a checking account of yours? Bank account?
The last two that I had gotten, yeah.
Okay. Pretty soon, look at that account. $1,400 will drop into that. You qualified for a tax-free gift of $1,400, the latest stimulus payment. It's yours.
What?
Remember the millionaire, the old television show? You got $1,400, and you get to keep that. That's stimulus.
I think the source of some confusion. We keep saying the stimulus. The American Rescue Plan sounds like some advertising gimmick that
name of the most recent act passed just 6 weeks ago by the Biden administration, the one that provided for another round of stimulus checks. Barb, did you get $1,200 a year ago?
Yes.
From the government?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Did you get $600 in January?
Yes.
Okay.
Ding, ding, ding,
here comes
ding,
your $1,400. Don't expect any more. They're not going to send any more stimulus checks after this. So use it wisely.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner. Sean, you're on WGN. Congrats, Barb. We're glad you called. Hey, Sean, you're on WGN. Sean just clicked off. Let's go to Tony. You're on WGN. Tony, what can we do for you?
I got a question. My bride of 30 years and I have been filing jointly for 30 years. I got my $1,400 this year a few months ago. She hasn't gotten it at all. When I go to get my payment, of course, it says we have no knowledge, whatever, you know, just the excuses. Where do I call? What can I do to find out about her money?
No, you can't call, but let me ask you a question. Are you receiving just a chance? You've been married 30 years, probably too young to be getting Social Security. Is that correct?
No, I am getting it, yes.
Okay, is she getting Social Security?
Not yet.
Okay, so what happened is they caught you on the pass, on the review for Social Security recipients. And I bet your $1,400 was direct deposited into your Social Security account, right?
Our mutual account, yes.
Your mutual account, the bank account that you have Social Security deposited into. They will catch her on a separate pass when they go through the returns again. And these are computer passes where they just scan them. And they'll catch her as having been missed because you are on Social Security and she's not. And her $1,400 will come. It'll take a little bit. I bet it's in the next 6 weeks or so. So call back in 6 weeks if you haven't received
it.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
She will.
You've been nothing but
in the mail, though.
You've been nothing but good information for people, like positive information.
Yeah, good. I'm smiling, yeah.
This is the happiest show we've ever done. although, let me just read one other quick text and see if you can make short work of this. Can Terry make any suggestion about PUA? I'm an independent contractor. My benefits stopped mid-February. My profile suggests I'm still entitled to approximately $11,000. I contacted my state rep, congressman, my county commissioner. I can't get through on IDES. Please help. Can you make a suggestion about PUA?
You're puncturing our string of happy results. Each state determines at what level they will continue to pay out these benefits, at what general level of unemployment. And in March, the state of Illinois said that because of the lowered level of unemployment in the state, it was going to discontinue benefits. It hasn't quite made clear exactly when, how, and if before that you still had money owed to you. The IDES is inscrutable and hides behind that big wall. It is not surprising that many people who are getting PUA benefits will not be receiving them, even benefits that were back benefits they might have been owed. And you can't get through to them. I can't get through to them anymore. I wish I could have ended it with good news, but I'm afraid you have to consider yourself out that money because there's no way. Now, you can file, by the way.
Yeah.
You can file a claim. Use the toll-free number. They'll get around to calling you. Claim it. Then they'll say you're denied. Then you can file an appeal. So it could take a while, and you should pursue that. But I'm not optimistic about you getting any more money.
Okay, Terry, that's all our time today. Really helpful information, as always. You can always visit Terry's website, terrysavage.com. Go there for more information. And let's talk next Wednesday, my friend. There goes Terry. It's 12:45. After a quick commercial break, we'll say hello to our friend Dave Schwann, who is literally passing under the Columbus Avenue Bridge on the tall ship Wendy as we speak. He's that close to Lake Michigan. The business news continues now. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. McDonald's has been enlisted by the Biden administration to promote COVID-19 vaccinations. The fast food giant will take part in the multi-million-dollar vaccine awareness campaign called We Can Do This. McDonald's will use its Times Square billboard for the marketing campaign, and in July will feature the campaign slogan on its McCafe coffee cups and on materials used for its home delivery service called McDelivery. The We Can Do This campaign directs people to a website that helps them find vaccination sites and other information. Chicago's Joffrey Ballet will open a studio and training facility in the South Loop in September. The organization has purchased a 5,300-square-foot retail portion of a condo building at 1920 South Wabash. Cranes reports the Joffrey Academy's Children's Division, Youth Division, and Adult Open Division will offer classes at the new site. It's part of the organization's five-year Joffrey for All strategic plan. I'm Steve Gratanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Business of Food continues on the Business Lunch with Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. Lots of talk about inflation today, and the ag commodity sector is the source of a lot of that inflation, from lumber to corn and beans and hogs and cattle, all trading in multi-year levels. And over the past two trading sessions at the Chicago Board of Trade, prices for corn, beans, and wheat have been double digits down and double digits up. More volatility today as the USDA's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Report, known as WASDE, dropped about 2 hours ago. Traders see it as bullish on soybeans, bearish on corn and beans. Right now, beans are up about 26 cents, corn is down 9 cents, and wheat is trading about 12 cents lower. So what is WASDE?
The WASDE is a very significant report because it helps to set prices. It helps with the price discovery process. And we believe, therefore, that it makes markets operate more efficiently.
That's Mark Jekanowski, the chairman of the group that puts the report together, the World Agricultural Outlook Board. He says the report helps
to establish an overall view of how tight the markets are, you know, whether demand is exceeding supply or if production is exceeding demand and we're building up stock.
And those conclusions generally move the markets.
We go to great lengths to try to avoid any kind of errors in our numbers.
But the WASDE numbers are often criticized by traders, farmers, and others for being too bullish or too bearish, or both.
People scrutinize them, and folks in industry, they're also doing their own balance sheet. So they're comparing their own analyses against ours. I mean, there's always differences of opinion, and we get a lot of questions about that. We get sometimes criticism. We get public criticism about it at times if specific analysts or journalists might disagree with the numbers, but that's not an error.
Jekanowski points out that while critics have a lot to gain or lose based on the report, he and his staff have no skin in the game. They are not allowed to trade in the commodities that they report on.
It's completely unbiased, it's completely objective, and it's also completely non-political. The secretary signs the reports, but signs them before seeing them, so there's no political influence either.
Mark Jekanowski. Today's Farm to Your Belly feature is, it's National Nutty Fudge Day. That's the Business of Food on 720 WGN.
There is a food delivery app aggregator. Get your head around that as we talk to Michael DiBenedetto. He is the creator, the co-founder and CEO of something called FoodBass. Boss. Michael, welcome to the show. You're on WGN.
Thank you for having me.
Is that a correct description of it? We all are familiar with food delivery apps, but you are an aggregation app for all of them?
An online search engine. So think of it like a Kayak or Trivago in travel, a SeatGeek in tickets, a GoodRx in pharmacy, a CarGurus in the car space. What we've identified is that there's a search engine in every major vertical, and we're just applying that same business concept to the food delivery and pickup space.
So do you pick the service then that I should use, or do I, and how do I know which one to select?
Overarching, FoodBass is an online food delivery search engine that comprises multiple third-party services as well as restaurant direct options into one singular place. And then from there, in real time, the consumer is able to see what the total fees are for the specific service or the restaurant itself, what the delivery time estimates are. They're able to sort by menu items, recommended distance, and then from there, similar to the other search engines and other verticals, we just pass them along to our partners to complete the order on their site.
So I'd like to pick the one that costs the least. I'll see that. I'll be able to make that determination?
Yes, or the fastest, or
right.
Some services
yeah.
have a specific menu item that they want. That you want from them versus others. So a variety of factors.
Well, I think ideally, to be honest with you, I think these days, especially in light of what we learned during the pandemic, a lot of us would prefer to purchase directly from the restaurant, particularly if they have a delivery service themselves rather than using a third party. I'll be able to see that as well on your page?
Yes, we just actually added that feature in early December. We're live with Lumonati's in Chicago. Gibson's is about to be live. Pure Green, and then we have some national chains as well that we've signed on board that are live and going live in the near future. So again, with that analogy, we're bringing when you're on travel sites, when you're trying to look at Hilton versus Expedia versus Priceline, we're bringing that Hilton option to our platform across the nation.
It sounds like a good idea, Michael. I'm surprised somebody hadn't thought about this before. Are you the first out of the gate with this?
No, there's been others probably in the past. Our direct competitors are Google, OpenTable is in the space now. So I think we're doing something right if the larger companies are entering into the field that we are.
How do you make money?
So similar to other search engines and the other verticals, we charge off a cost per click and a display banner campaign model.
I can live with ads as long as I'm not adding to my bill or not adding much to it. I mean, that's pretty user-friendly then, right?
Yeah, it's no cost to the consumer at all. We make our money from the partners that we send our consumers to where they complete the order. So we just make it as, you know, a fee for the users we send to our partners, similar to how Google charges these large restaurant brands and third parties for their advertising.
How many users do you have? How long have you been live?
We've been live for since beta about 2017. We're growing double digits month over month. We have six figures in users and continually growing and sending very strong traffic to our partners on a month-over-month basis.
And you're here in Chicago, huh?
Yeah, we're based in Chicago, and we're in 95 major metropolitan markets and the surrounding areas. So give or take about 3,300 cities across the country.
Michael DiBenedetto is the co-founder and CEO of Food Boss, foodboss.com for your food delivery. Oh, really interesting, Michael. Good luck. Let's talk again, follow up on, see how it goes. I appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much as well. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, foodboss.com here in Chicago.